Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
What characteristics make a person more susceptible to false teaching than others? And that's the question that we're addressing in our passage before us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. And that's a very important question, because if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not want to be led astray by false teaching. But there's an awful lot of it around us. The world in which we live abounds with false teaching. There's more false than true when it comes to the Christian faith. And so you need to understand what characteristics make a person more susceptible to false teaching. And that's what we're going to continue talking about on this Friday, April 15. Thanks for joining us, and many, many thanks to those whose gifts maintain this broadcast on this station. Well, our text is 2 Timothy 3, 6, and 7. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is talking about people who have a form of godliness but deny the power of it. And as we worked our way through that passage, it becomes apparent that Paul is talking about those who have a form of the Christian religion, because he's addressing this epistle first to Timothy in the city of Ephesus. Timothy, who is the senior pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he's talking about those that are in Timothy's congregation and those who are influencing the people in Timothy's congregation. And so he's talking about those who have a form of the Christian religion, an external adherence to what they call Christianity, but deny the power, that is, the inward reality of the new birth, because they haven't experienced it. And of this sort, we read in verse 6, are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts. And so we're talking about the characteristics of those who are easy targets for deception. And they are, number one, those who are weak-minded. And I'm not talking about any kind of intellectual defect or inability, though that could be included here. Obviously, such people would be at more of a disadvantage because Christianity is a thinking religion. But it's talking about those who elevate feelings and intuitive decisions above rational analysis of the Bible and logical application of God's Word to life's questions. And those who think they can follow their heart, those who think that they can just follow their instincts, follow their feelings, just do what first comes to your mind, just follow your instincts. I don't know how many people I have had tell me, well, I've got pretty good instincts. I have good intuition. I can analyze things pretty well. And many people think that they have an intuitive ability to do this. And like every error, there is some measure of truth. And obviously, those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God do have within us the Spirit of God who will lead us and guide us. But this is what you need to understand. The Spirit's leading is not generally an intuitive process. Let me say that again. The leading of the Holy Spirit is not generally an intuitive process. That's the exception, not the rule. Now, there are times when we need immediate guidance because we don't have an opportunity to study God's Word and to think it through and to arrive at a conclusion through thought processes. And so, for example, Jesus said, when you are hauled before courts and are put on the spot, don't prepare ahead of time what you're going to speak in that day. It will be given to you what to speak. In other words, the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom you need at that moment because that is an exceptional situation, and you're not going to have time to study the Scripture, to arrive at a conclusion, to apply it to the situation, to work through the thought process necessary to know what to say on that particular occasion. So, yes, God the Holy Spirit can guide. God the Holy Spirit will guide when that's the only option. But God the Holy Spirit will not guide us intuitively if we are ignoring the normal means. It's like healing in the Bible. Can God heal? Of course. Does God normally heal apart from doctors and human medicine? No, not normally. Normally, He uses the normal means, the human means. The God who is able to heal our bodies miraculously has also given doctors to human society. Where do you think this knowledge and wisdom comes from? Where do you think medical science comes from? Where do you think the intellect and ability to study medicine, understand it and apply it comes from? All of these are gifts from God. God has raised those up for human benefit. Not everyone acknowledges that, of course, but Christians certainly shouldn't argue with that. Christians should not only agree with that, they should embrace that gladly. God is the author of this knowledge. God has given it to human society to benefit men. And so, consequently, when you get sick, what do? Pray and go to the doctor and pray that God will use the doctor. And most of the time, if God intends to heal you, that's exactly how He's going to do it. I've been through cancer twice, as most radio listeners know. Both times, God has brought me through, and my first and most serious one is now, I have to stop and think, is how many years behind me? 26 years behind me. And my second and less serious one is now, and I have to again stop and figure it up, 14 years behind me. I'm doing wonderfully well. The Lord has been so good. I'm living longer than I really ever thought I would, and am strong. I'm more strong and vigorous than I ever expected to be, even if I was alive at this age. God has been wonderfully good to me, and I give Him all the glory and all the credit, but I also recognize that He used doctors to accomplish this. That doesn't mean the doctors couldn't accomplish it without God's blessing. Of course not. But God used ordinary means. He didn't heal me apart from doctors. This idea that if I have enough faith, I don't need to go to a doctor. Those of you who don't have much faith, you go to a doctor. But I've got strong faith. I'm going to pray. God's going to heal me. I don't need a doctor. You'll probably die. It's like the man who was on the rooftop in a flood waiting for rescue. The boat came along and said, "Get in, we're here to rescue you." And he said, "Oh, no, 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 I'm a Christian, I'm a man of faith, I'm praying for God to rescue me. I don't want an ordinary rescue, I want a miracle, I'm waiting for God to rescue me." And so he drowned, and when he went to heaven, he was quite disappointed and disillusioned and puzzled. "God, why didn't you rescue me? I believed you would, I prayed that you would." And God said, "Didn't you see that boat I sent along?" That's the way God normally does it. And it's the same thing when it comes to understanding what's right and wrong, what's true and false, and how we make decisions, and what doctrines we believe and what doctrines we reject, and what teachers we follow and what teachers we reject. When you think you can figure this out intuitively, that the Holy Spirit just leads me, and I know this is a faithful teacher. I have seen so many examples of this. I'm almost 63 years old now, and I've been pastoring for 38 years, and I have watched this over the years. And I know some people that I know very well who are godly people and who are probably even above average Bible students, but still have this strong idea that I am led by the Spirit and I can figure things out just intuitively. And I have seen many of them follow false teachers for a while. God's true children don't continue to follow them. My sheep hear my voice, said Jesus, and I know them, and they follow me. And a false shepherd they will not follow, but that doesn't mean they never will follow at all for a little ways. And I have seen some people that surprised me who fell for some pretty personable television teachers who were teaching unsound doctrine, and I'd try to put in a word. I'd try to warn them, watch out, that's not sound, that's not safe. Oh, you're wrong. I just know. He's a good man. He's a godly man. He might not dot every I and cross every T just exactly the way that we would, but he's a good man, and I believe in him, and I think he's doing a lot of good until something comes along that exposes him for the fraud and the false teacher that he was all along. Don't rely upon instinct. Those who are guided by subjective feelings rather than by objective truth are the most easy targets for deception, and are the ones who become the followers of false teachers by the thousands and the hundreds of thousands. That's no way to determine what's right and wrong. You need to become a student of the Word of God. That, of course, takes work. And that, of course, takes time. And many people are impatient. And they don't want to have to study God's Word over a period of time in order to become knowledgeable in the Christian religion. They want to be able to just do it instantly because we all are lazy. Some are lazy physically. Some are lazy mentally. I know some people who are some of the hardest working folks I know. They'll get out there and work all day long, and they're not lazy when it comes to physical labor, but they're lazy when it comes to mental labor and are more easily deceived because of it. Because they are active, physical, hands-on kinds of people, they tend not to want to be people of the book, people who read, people who study. They just want to make decisions intuitively, and they want everything to be laid out for them simple. They just want somebody to tell them what's true and false and right and wrong, and they don't want to have to study, and that's dangerous. God wants you to become a student of His Word at whatever level of education you've been given. That's where you start. At whatever capacity of intellect you have been given, that's where you start. Doesn't require any particular level to be a good, God-honoring Christian, but it does require that you start at whatever level you are at, and that you study at that level, and then you learn and grow and get beyond that level. Otherwise, you are subject to deception. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.